the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
This week trending, Laura Byrne, who is Voices editor and podcast producer at journal.ie, and Lorcan Nine, head of training at the Communications Clinic. I want to start, Laura, with what I thought was one of the most interesting stories of the week, an unusual one. The Director of Services for Housing and Roads at Mayo County Council emailed councillors late on Sunday night calling for a community-led boycott of holiday home owners in order to bring high numbers of vacant properties back into use and to combat the housing crisis. Now, he has been slapped down comprehensively, including by the Taoiseach for that, hasn't he?
No, he has, big time. And his name is Tom Gilligan. Now, he's a senior county council manager, as you say. Now, he called for a community-led boycott of these holiday homeowners in order to bring high numbers of vacant properties back into use. Now, we all know them. I think anyone who goes down the west, down the Atlantic coast, you'll see these beautiful scenic areas, and dotted across these areas are these one-off houses, usually small cottages, let's say, and they're empty a lot of the time of the year, and they're owned by their second homes, and they have come into for a bit of criticism over the years, but I think probably in the last 10-15 years with the use of Airbnb and that kind of thing, they've become a little bit more contentious. Now, Tom didn't find that he had very...
Sorry, contentious in what way? Because, I mean, at least I would have thought the Airbnb means that they're put into use, whereas a lot of the time, if they're left out, we have this crisis of housing in the country. This week, we saw a report from daft.ie that the average newly demanded rent is €2,000 per month. The average rent is a little bit less than that, but still, it's an enormous burden on people. We have people unable to buy their own homes. We have the homeless. And here we have, all over the country, these second homes that better off people can indulge themselves by visiting on an occasional basis.
That has come up for discussion so many times before. Now, the Airbnb thing, yes, they're in use, Matt, but they're in use by people who aren't part of the community. And I suppose the argument, let's say, by the likes of Tom Gilligan would say that if they weren't being used for Airbnb, the owners may be more inclined to give them to a family for a year or two, or to a family of Ukrainians who might need them. So they're more transient in how they're being used. Now, he didn't get very much support from his colleagues in Mayo County Council. In fact, I think they couldn't have distanced themselves as fast as they did.
What do you make of it all, Lorcan?
I think to your point at the start there, Matt, if this is actually a crisis, if it is properly seen as a crisis, if we consider a crisis, we call it a crisis all the time. If it's actually a crisis, well, crises need pretty extreme actions to deal with. I think what we're seeing consistently, no matter any time anything is proposed, anything radical is proposed, it's not really a crisis. It's seen as a crisis, it's a big issue, it's a big problem, but it's not really treated as a crisis, and perhaps it should be. Because obviously the problem he's identifying here is accurate. I mean, like 6,000 homes in Westport being second homes or across Mayo, one in three being Airbnbs. I mean, that is a big, big problem. And if there are families looking, particularly you see kind of people looking to relocate back home, they've struggled to buy a house because they get priced out of the market by people who are either buying them as rental properties or buying them as a second home. So people within the local community or who want to come and live in the local community will have the wage structure of the west of Ireland, which is not as high as it is in Dublin, and therefore they get priced out of the market. On the boycott thing, right? He himself cited the fact we do have a history of boycotts here. We have, you know, the land wars.
The very word came from County Mayo in the first place.
Captain Boycott, I believe he referenced that as well. And I don't think we like to talk about it, but shame has a huge amount in regulating how culture works. I mean, shame is a tool that actually does need to be used. We are governed by social norms as much as we are by laws. And so his point towards, if you want something to stop, you do actually need to make it socially acceptable for it not to happen. Let's say drink driving is the example. That was law, but it was also then it became socially unacceptable to do it and it becomes lesser. Now, he's not getting any support. It's probably a little bit extreme. And I think ostracizing people within the communities who are there, even if they're only there irregularly, doesn't really solve the Airbnb problem. And if you look at the ESRI reports in it, this is more of an Airbnb problem than it is a holiday home problem.
Okay, listener says, people have worked hard for the holiday homes and deserve the mental break that a holiday home gives them. We are turning into a dictatorship when it comes to houses now. Just because the government can't fix the housing issue and forcing people to solve the government issue. Now, the government is not in favour, has to be said, of what has been suggested. And Micheál Martin particularly, who I think is a holiday homeowner himself down in West Cork. But then again, not everybody has worked hard for their holiday homes. Quite often they're inherited. They're left to them by their parents.
Absolutely. Now, to give Tom Gilligan his due, what he has done is tapped into the Irish anxiety around property and property ownership and property rights. And it's one of the things that has probably stopped the government messing with the property ecosystem as much as it may have done, let's say, during the Celtic Tiger. But I suppose what he has also done is tap into the stress around, you know, if you look at Barcelona last year, they had the locals kind of pushing back against the tourism and, you know, the fight for resources. And then you also have the idea of, you know, if I'm a local down in the west of Ireland and my father gives me a site, well, I haven't had the right to build my own home there for a long time now. There's been government policy around one-off housing. And yet I see Mr. and Mrs. SUV driving from, let's say, come on, Dublin South, coming down here, and they come down for 6 weeks of the year, play golf, and it's all hunky-dory. And you can see why someone like Tom Gilligan would tap into that mindset in a local community.
OK, listener comments. Go away, Matt. My brother owns his own home, 3 beds, and lives alone. Does that mean he has to give up his house? I never suggested that. We're talking about second houses. My sister inherited a cottage in Clare. Her family moves there every summer. Does that mean she has to give it up? Dictatorship. Another one says, better off people. Matt, this sounds like you're endorsing communism as a solution to the housing problem. We see, Lorca, there is another issue here. This argument has been made as well that, you know, these houses in remote areas, that they're not suitable for living in all year round. There are lots of people living in neighbouring houses all year round, and particularly with more working from home and with broadband more readily available throughout the country, couldn't these be houses that would be purchased by people to live there, to create community all year round rather than just in the summer months?
Yeah, an attempt to rejuvenate rural Ireland, that this would have to be part of it. Look, I have absolutely no problem with people having holiday homes. You know, I really, really don't. And I think that it actually gives a lift to these areas during the summer. So I don't actually have a real problem with it. I do have a problem, though, with the attitude of some of the texters there, because you hear it all the time, which is people worked hard for it and therefore they are entitled to it. There's a hell of a lot of people who work very, very hard who will never make enough money. In fact, most people who work very, very hard are not going to make enough money to have a second property. So there's this idea of people who have privileges, and it's absolutely fine to have privileges and to have a nice life and be in a nice position in society, but this idea that they have it because they worked hard and therefore they should not feel in any way entitled to have it, nor should they ever, you know, feel like they don't deserve it, that is very wearisome, and you hear it all of the time in these arguments. Working hard and wealth are actually very often very disconnected.
Lorcan is right, and I think probably we have to remember that these areas in rural areas, they're still communities. You know, you look at the time during Storm Éowyn and the fight for resources and worry of, you know, these houses are still, they're in need of water, they're in need of power, that kind of thing. And community really matters in these places. And you mentioned remote working. I think rather than taking it out on the property owners and boycotting them in the local supermarket or what have you, we should maybe take our attention to the government and the fact that it probably didn't, you know, really make the best of the remote working push that it could have after COVID, because these communities could be rejuvenated. I mean, there are properties that are affordable in rural areas if you thought you could work remotely in them.
Okay, let's move to other things. Lorcan, tell me about the robot trees that have been removed in Cork.
So people will remember, I think it was 5 years ago at this stage, that the so-called robot trees were put in. They're kind of a wooden design. They're supposed to, they purify the air, they take toxins out of the air, and they were supposed to be kind of an environmental move. Now, everybody at the time said this was a gimmick, this was nonsense. Do you know what else purifies the air? Trees.
Yep.
Actual normal trees do a much better job, actually, upon investigation than these artificial trees do. But we're 5 years on now, Matt, and they've started to show signs of wear and tear, and so they've finally been removed. Now, who initially decided when they were planning this, putting in this absolute gimmick, put in something that costs a huge amount of money, I think 300,000, to install and then maintain, and realised they only had a shelf life of 5 years. That after 5 years, they're going to start showing signs of wear and tear when they could have planted trees. I think trees last significantly longer than 5 years when you look at it. And it's part of this thing that does keep happening again and again, where we try to find new solutions to problems that already have solutions. It's about the will to implement those solutions. We don't need a fancier solution to pulling toxins out of the air. We have that solution. It's the political will to do it. And people run away from themselves with these gimmicks and new innovations that we don't need.
Matt, can we please rename this segment, What in the Name of God Were They Thinking? Because look, this is, I mean, it's all a bit of crack and until you look at the bottom line. 350,000 these things cost. And I remember when they went in, I remember tearing my hair out going, so okay, the whole idea was that they were to clear the toxic pollutant particulate matter through these fans. So they're using energy and they're supposedly clearing the pollutants. But as Lorcan said, trees do that, guys. Trees, let's not reinvent the wheel. We need more trees in urban areas.
Can you describe for me, please, a lazy boy recliner?
So my version of a lazy boy recliner is very much 1990s, early 2000s, kind of leather clad, I suppose a high backed sofa chair, but with a sort of a switch on the side where you got, when you got really tired after a long day, you flick the switch and up come the legs of the chair and you're kind of reclining.
Take the weight off your legs.
Take the weight off those feet. I didn't think that they were still a thing. I have to say they were kind of de rigueur back in the day, but I didn't.
Did you have one?
I think we had one in one of the many rental properties that we all lived in. I think we had one at one stage, and one of the lads who I lived with was never out of it, out of the lazy boy, I should say. But it was, you know, they weren't my style. I wouldn't have one in my house, put it that way. But, you know, they were definitely a thing. But they still are by the looks of it.
Well, they are, because independent TD Ken O'Flynn for Cork North Central, apparently when he was getting his office done up on moving in to Leinster House after his election, requested one of these, even though they cost about a grand. So let's hear how he explained himself to Neil Prendeville on Red FM in Cork.
Why do you think everybody's fixating on your chair?
Look, leave the people decide why people are fixating on a chair that came out of a stock room that did not cost €1,000. I looked around at what every senator and TD has inside there. What I refer to as a lazy boy, which is kind of a sofa chair. I think it has been blown out of proportion by certain members of the media. And I'm not here to make friends. I'm here to make changes.
130 male TDs. Do we have 130 lazy boys in the Dáil then?
I'm sure there is.
Are there lazy girls in the Dáil too, though, besides the lazy boys?
No, Neil, there's lazy boys and lazy girls inside the Dáil. They're a long time before the furniture arrived. It must be a very slow week if you're worried of what chair I'm sitting on. There's an awful lot of people like to see me on the floor.
Is it a laughing matter, Lorcan, that he wants the comfort of a lazy boy in his office? Can we all have one where we work?
I suppose if we start and take his explanation at face value, that, you know, in the same way that we might say Hoover when you know it, as the brand, and he just said Lazy Boy was a recliner, well then it's not that big a deal. Not a huge deal to ask for a chair in your office that other people seem to have, and he was asking for other things as well. There was a few other requests that came up where people want a very specific, I think, purple wallpaper.
Oh, no, this is a beauty. Sinn Féin's Fintan O'Sullivan, he also sought a recliner, but he had a specific paint job for his office. He sent an email in which he said, I would like the wall papered or painted in turquoise with a little vertical strip on the left between the two doors in yellow.
Yeah, I think that's the bigger story. Okay, no, one purple and yellow, I'm not sure. You know, I know they're the JFM colours, but I'm not sure if they fully work on an office door abroad. So you shouldn't be allowed to request things like that. That being said, on a wider point,
he did withdraw the request a month later, apparently. Probably haven't been told
post,
he wasn't
FOI,
getting it.
Yeah.
Getting nowhere.
I do think there's a slightly wider point in that we do overfixate on some of these things, and I think it slightly devalues politics and devalues the role. And I think if you look over the last 10, 20, 30 years, I mean, the prestige in which politicians are held, the reverence in which they're held, I suppose the want to be a politician, the place you have in society has diminished. I think there is a worry that you get you then therefore get less people wanting to be involved, less of a quality to it. This doesn't seem to be an expensive scandal in any way, shape or form. He asked for a chair. He didn't ask for a specific brand. He didn't send a link. So I think it is a bit overblown. I think if we step back, actually politicians should be, you know, given.
I suppose it does, however, feed into, you know, if you're frustrated looking at the carry-on in Leinster House, you know, speaking rights, the formation of committees, that kind of thing, you'd start to wonder what way are the priorities here, you know. And also, I'm thinking about poor Eamon Ryan during COVID when he had a little snooze in the convention centre. Was he missing his lazy boy that day? So if everybody has them, you know, they're very long days, maybe they just need a little snooze.
Laura, what's this about a spat between the housing minister and Sinn Féin over the Norman invasion celebrations across Europe?
Yeah, so another segment for what in the name of God were they thinking? This is one of the better stories of the week. We got great crack out of this, I'm sure everyone did. So this is the Heritage Minister, James Brown. He's also the Housing Minister. He's under constant pressure, let's say. So he had Cabinet sign off to the European Year of the Normans. So in 2027, the plan is to celebrate the Norman King of England, William the Conqueror. You might have heard of him once or twice. He'll be 1,000 years since his birth that year. I suppose first thing about this made me realise, you know, if you, have you learned nothing from Charlie Flanagan back with the RIC commemoration? If anything comes across your desk as a minister, TD or anyone, just do what we call in the journal a vibe check. Just stop everyone in your tracks and say, just do a vibe check on this. Does this sound like something that the people would be interested in? So, you know, there is such a thing as 800 years of colonisation and all sorts of transgenerational trauma that, that we as a country have suffered. And this story, I suppose, as it would be, got everyone's back up, particularly Sinn Féin. This is Aengus O'Snoghaidh, called it offensive. He said it was, it beggared belief given the legacy of William's successors invading and subjugating Ireland in the name of the English crown. Now, to me, I suppose it's like celebrating the day the fox got into the hen house. You know, I suppose they mean well. And, you know, the argument by government is they gave us lots of fabulous buildings. There's castles. There's all sorts of names. Irish names, you know, Campion, Cantillon, Courcy, Fitzgerald. So, yes, we, you know, the English gave us lots of nice buildings and so did the, you know, the Normans, their predecessors, but...
I think it's a Monty Python sketch coming on. What did the Normans ever do for us, Lorcan?
I have a slightly different take on this than Laura. I think for O'Snoghaidh to call this offensive is wrong. I think the only offensive thing about this whole thing is kind of the unnuanced grasp of history coming from O'Snoghaidh and Sinn Féin on it. I mean, there's a couple of things. If your need is to be reflexively anti-English, which is what Sinn Féin seems to be doing here, well, then you should be all about William the Conqueror, because William the Conqueror beat the English at the Battle of Hastings. The Battle of Hastings is their founding identity because they lost, not because they won. William the Conqueror had nothing at all to do with the invasion of Ireland. The invasion of Ireland happened after William the Conqueror and the Norman ancestors, absolutely, but it was after him. And the vast majority of the plantation of Ireland came from the Tudors, who were not Norman at all. They were Welsh, in fact. So this idea, the Normans came 1,000 years ago, not 800, like, you know, was when William the Conqueror was, 800 years ago. They then assimilated. You can see all the names. We'll go through it. Barry, are we Sinn Féin? If they want to walk down to Cork and tell the Barrys of Cork that they're not Irish enough, that's absolutely fine. Most of the names on the list actually read like a Kilkenny hurling team. There's a Cody's, there's Walsh's, because that's where the Normans tended to be. It is our history. And this idea that we are all... have to trace ourselves back to the most Celtic of the Celts that Sinn Féin want us to be. It's absolute nonsense. It's ahistorical, and it's just such a poor grasp of who we actually are as a nation. And it's just this stupid reflexive nativism that they go for every single time. William the Conqueror has absolutely nothing to do with what they're talking about, and it's absolutely fine to look at the Norman history within Ireland. If Aidan Stunga has the same issue, I was walking in here and the Viking Splash Tour passed. I assume O'Snoghaidh is going to be lying down in front of the Viking Splash Tour next, because the Vikings invaded Ireland as well, and it must be offensive.
Are the Nines Vikings or Normans?
Well, I think the Nine name might be Scandinavian, but who knows?
Yeah, no, I'm a Viking, apparently, the Burns of Vikings, but the Vikings came to mind, all right. I was thinking, I wonder if they did this for the Vikings, would we have the same reaction? And I don't think so, but the Normans, for us, you know, psychologically, they are inextricably linked with the English. And, you know, we had great crack with this story before Sinn Féin even sent a statement out. So, you know, can't...
But William the Conqueror is called William the Conqueror because he conquered the English.
Well,
then the Normans went on. But the English at that stage were conquered as well. We were both being conquered by the same people at that stage. And it then developed from there. It has very little to do with colonial England, the Norman invasion. In fact, they were invited in by the King of Leinster.
But,
so we want to have a big
details,
issue, we can
look,
have an issue
Lorcan,
with the King of Leinster.
Details, details, details. Look, we could all sit here and go through our history books, but the people don't have time or, you know, the inclination
to...
But someone said to me during the week, this is like the Native Americans having a national holiday for Christopher Columbus.
But you know, it's not, though. It isn't the same thing. And our elected politicians shouldn't be reflexive. They should be more nuanced. And your history is a history for a reason.
What has Christopher Columbus ever done for us?
Thank you very much, Lorcan Nine, Laura Byrne.
The Last Word. With Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.